I had, we got time. I had a funny email that there, you know, you get these emails that shoot around, and there are a few emails that really just make me laugh out loud, but this one did. So I want to share a little bit with you. 20 ways to maintain a healthy level of insanity. I'm not going to read all of them, but at lunchtime, sit in your parked car with sunglasses on and point a hairdryer at passing cars and see if they slow down. Page yourself over the intercom and don't disguise your voice. Every time someone asks you to do something, ask if they want fries with that. Put decaf in the coffee maker for 3 weeks. Once everyone has gotten over their caffeine addictions, switch to espresso. In the memo field of all your checks, write, for marijuana. Right. Wait, we're in church. Can we laugh at that? This is my favorite one. Finish all of your sentences with, in accordance with the prophecy. Skip down the hall rather than walk and see how many looks you get. Order a diet water wherever you go out to eat with a serious face. Sing along at the opera. Put mosquito netting around your work area and play tropical sounds all day long. 5 days in advance, tell your friends you can't attend their party because you have a headache. When leaving the zoo, start screaming, start running towards the parking lot, yelling, run for your lives, they're loose. And tell your children over dinner, due to the economy, we're going to have to let one of you go. I don't know, for some reason those just tickled me. Well, today we continue on in our series of living in freedom, living a free, victorious life. One of the things I've noticed is I've been listening to Pastor Lanny go through his messages, and even in the guest speakers that we have had coming in over the period of time, the past few months, I have noticed that we have all been striking on the same chord. We've all been discussing essentially the same thing. And this is not coordinated. Pastor Lanny and I have not discussed this in advance, what we were going to be preaching about. We've discussed it subsequently, and we note that, hey, we're on the same page. How about that? And when we listen to our guest speakers, we notice, hey, this is just what we're talking about too. I say that to say the Holy Spirit is at work here in this body. Something is up to grow us, to transform our lives into something better, to move us forward for the purposes of the kingdom of God. And I am convinced that it will mean not only free and victorious living for us, but it will, and it will be a blessing to us, but it will be a real blessing in the kingdom as well. All right, so as I continue on in my series of living in freedom, remember that in the past, up until this point, I've been just going through all this information gathering stage, right? We've been just, I am, where, what happened to me? Where did I go? They turned me off. God, is it that boring? Oh, okay, keep going. Okay. All right. I've been going through the information gathering stage. Remember that over the past weeks, we've reviewed the character of God. We have gone over what our identity is in God. We've gone over the character of Satan, as well as what is our own character. Remember that what our own character is different from who we are because of our place in Christ. And we've also, finally, we've gone over the truth that we can have hope, that there is hope that we can break free of the things that hold us in bondage. So that's what we have covered to date. Today, we go into the planning stage, part one of the planning stage. Now, remember that for any successful escape attempt, detailed planning has to be involved. I want to take just a few minutes to review some examples of poor planning. Let's start with, anyone know who this is? Yeah, this is Napoleon Bonaparte. And he was a real good planner. Napoleon, in June of 1812, he decides to invade Russia with 650,000 troops. Quite a bit. He leaves in November of that same year, defeated with only 40,000 troops, losing over 600,000 troops in the process of less than 6 months. Okay, now, for any of you who are planning to be warriors, important note, write this down. Never get involved in a land war in Asia, okay? All right, how about this guy? This is the next guy. Anybody know who this is? Anyone? No, that's not Stalin. That's Archduke Franz Ferdinand, Archduke of Austria. Okay. He was assassinated. His assassination resulted in World War I. Okay, go to the next one. Okay, but does anybody know who this guy is? This guy's name is Oscar Potiorek. This guy was responsible for the security of the guy that I just had up there. He was responsible for the security of the Archduke. Okay. Now, this fella, after a first assassination attempt in Sarajevo, and they were talking about planning about how to get the Archduke safely out of the city. His reply was, what do you think, that Sarajevo is full of assassins? Because of his poor planning, the motorcade took a bad route, and there was a second assassination attempt, and that one was successful, and that started World War I. All right, who's next? All right, we all know who this guy is. All right, this guy, aside from being infamous for his horrible acts, was also a pretty poor planner. Ignoring Napoleon's mistake, not only did he get involved in a land war in Asia, but he did it while he was fighting on two fronts at the same time, one on the east, one on the west. And so, of course, he wasn't too successful. All right, has anybody ever heard of the Tacoma Narrows Bridge? Yeah? Okay. Some people know, some don't. Let's roll the clip. Let's get this guy off. Okay, go ahead and roll that. Okay, this is opening day on the Tacoma Narrows Bridge in July of 1940. Whoops! Oh, this is November of 1940, just a few months later. Whoa! Hey, how'd you like to walk on that? 42-mile-an-hour winds. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be on that bridge if it were flexing like that. Look at that thing flex. Okay, now I'm not sure that the engineering design was exactly right. Yeah. Well, see the car there? Everybody got out of the car, but the dog was too afraid to get out, so the dog died. And there she goes. Okay. That was poor engineering planning. Only 4 months after the bridge was constructed, it was blown down by 42-mile-an-hour winds, as I mentioned, due to the resonant vibration in the torsional mode. Any of you engineers, you know what that means. If you're not, don't worry about it. Basically, it was poor engineering, poor planning. The Tacoma Narrows Bridge, emphasis on the narrows, was too narrow. And so it blew down. When they rebuilt it, they made it a 4-lane highway, and it was fine. So our job then is to plan well, to plan our escape from the enemy and from the sin that holds us bondage, so that we might go on to live a free and victorious life. So as we shift now from the position of, you know, just collecting information, of gathering information, into the planning stage, now our work gets harder. Now it starts requiring work on your part, on all of our parts. In the past, we could just kind of sit and collect and receive some information. But now we need to be proactive. We need to start being assertive. And this is where I may start losing some of you. However, no action means no change in your condition. If we keep going down the same path, doing the same things that we always do, then we're going to keep getting the same results. And so this is where we need to start moving forward. And so I want to encourage each of us on the importance of being relentlessly determined. I talked a little bit about this in the past. We need to be determined. We have to be determined that no matter what, our goal is freedom. So that even when it gets scary, as surely it will, we have to focus on freedom. We have to focus on being free. If you have never been determined in your life before, now is the time. Because for those of us who have the courage to keep moving forward, there is victory that's waiting for us. A free and victorious life is waiting for us. Someone once said this: our sins will overwhelm us only when the hopelessness in our situation surpasses our disgust at our sinfulness. I'll say that one more time. Our sins will overwhelm us only when the hopelessness in our situation surpasses our disgust at our sinfulness. You know who said that? I just did. Yeah. So then what should fuel us should be this: our disgust at our own sinfulness, our determination to live free, and the never-ending hope that with the help of the Lord, we can be free. Now, as we start to plan, we need to think, well, this is my engineering background coming out. We need to think analytically, but we also need to think creatively as we proceed through this process. And the first thing that we should consider is we should consider taking stock. We should consider taking stock of our resources, as well as taking stock of the forces that are coming against us. It's important to take stock so that we know how to plan. Just like in a business or even in our own household, we need to know what our assets are and what our liabilities are. So what are our resources? What do we have to our credit? What are our assets? So let's take a look just for a second on what's on our side. First of all, we have power through the blood, right? We have the access to the power of the God of the universe because of the saving and cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that's a pretty good asset. That's a pretty good plus, I think, we have. However, if that's not enough, we also have the Lord's army of angels at our disposal. Okay, now let's consider something. One third of the angels rebelled and went with Lucifer. Right? So that means how many then are still on our side? Two thirds. Okay, so We have a numerical advantage here. All right. On our side, the army that stands with us has superior numbers over the one that goes against us. Another plus in our column. So, not only then do I like who's at the head of our army, but I also like the numerical advantage that we enjoy. The next thing we have on our side is we have some inherent desire to be free. Our heart's desire is to be free. We have the hope that we can be free. We have the strength, courage, determination that we can be free. This is generally referred to or commonly referred to by the world as the human spirit. Just like any prisoner of war or anyone that's held in slavery, there is an inherent desire to be free. And we possess that. So this fuels our struggle to be free until we are either free or until the enemy has broken our spirit. And since we are all relentlessly determined and we are not going to let the enemy break our spirit, we are going to continue pressing on, moving forward until we are free. And when we break free of some sin that holds us in bondage, we're going to be encouraged and we're going to move on to the next thing that we want to be free from. And the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. Now, when you look at all of these assets that we have on our side, I know I ask this question, how is it that we struggle the way we do? How is it that we struggle with sin despite everything we have going for us? So let's take a second to consider those things that are against us. The most obvious, of course, the forces of darkness. The enemy is outnumbered, to be sure, as I mentioned before, but the enemy also knows human nature. The enemy knows very, very well how to exploit our weaknesses. The enemy is exceedingly clever and very cunning. And this enemy cannot be underestimated. Also, working with our opponent is also ourselves. Our heart's desire may be to be free, but we also have this soulish nature that is inherently sinful that we struggle against. We have a certain predisposition towards sinfulness. Matthew 15:19 says this: "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." You see, without the Lord, this is the way we would tend to go. This is the natural path of our actions, would go towards sinfulness. The enemy conspires with our soulish nature to direct us down that path. Also, of course, working against us is our own lack of discipline. How many of you know that it's so much easier to just sit on the couch and watch a show than it is to go put in that new DVD, Pilates DVD? Right? It's a lot easier to just kind of sit. But getting in shape physically and getting in shape spiritually both require a certain amount of discipline. So we have to ask ourselves, as part of this taking stock, are we willing to pay the price to be free? All right, now that I've taken some time to kind of define our assets and liabilities, we need to clearly define the things that we are trying to break free from. What things are we trying to break free from? Now, up until now, we've just kind of been generically referring to breaking free. But really, this dialogue doesn't have too much meaning unless we can actually put something tangible to it. So now this is the first real assignment for each of us. If you're working through this series with me, then this is what I'd like you to do. And in fact, I'd like you to do it. I didn't plan it this way. It just kind of worked out this way, that this is, you know, the last session before the new year. So I'd like you to do this assignment before New Year's. Okay, since we're getting into a new year, I'm not talking about resolutions, but I'd like you to do this assignment that I'm about to give you within the next 48 hours. Okay? So before New Year's, I think this is a great way to start the new year. I want each of you to clearly define each sin with which you struggle. What is it that holds you in bondage? Okay, it's not going to be one thing. If it is only one thing, congratulations. You're almost there. But it's not going to be one thing. It'll probably be a list. I want you to write it down. But before you do, I want you to go before the Lord. Make sure that you have the right list. So go before the Lord. I am learning more and more that I have sins in my life that I don't even recognize. And this is important because if you don't recognize what sins are in your life, well, then how can you possibly start working on them? So I want you to go before you complete the list, I want you to go before the Lord, ask Him to show you what it is that you really need to work on. So, I'm going to help you with a prayer. Now, this prayer is in Scripture. It's Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 23 to 24 says this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. All right, so this is what I want to do. I hadn't even planned this. Let's do this right now. I'd like everybody to close your eyes. And I'm going to pray this prayer out loud. And when I do, pray it silently with yourselves and truly ask the Lord to show you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, show us what things are in our lives . Give Him free rein to show you everything that keeps you from living in freedom and that keeps you from a full relationship with Him. And if you're done, you can look up. And if not, you can keep praying. It's okay. So we're starting to get this list formulated. So we want to write it down because we don't want to forget these things. I want to point something out. I already did this. I already got my list here. I have 47 things on my list. No. But I have several things on my list, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're going to do with that list after we make it. I want to encourage you in something. Well, maybe not encourage, but the Lord may not show you everything in your life that needs to be corrected. But He will show you everything in your life that needs to be corrected now. As you mature in the Lord, He may show you other things. More stuff to work on. But that's okay. Just take the stuff that you need to work on right now. I want to develop a little bit more about this whole idea about not recognizing your sins. And to do so, I may be mixing my analogies a little bit, so try to follow along with me. I'm not even sure if I'll be able to follow along with me, but do your best. It's important to recognize in any escape situation the terrain over which we are traversing as we escape. If we go back to that prisoner of war example in which these captives are trying to escape, what things should they know about the terrain that they have to traverse in order to get away? Well, they may need to know a lot of things, but what might the enemy place in outlying fields and around the camps? And the one thing that came to my mind is, well, how about mines? They can make the whole area around the camp a minefield so that if prisoners escaped, they would find themselves right in the middle of a minefield. The mind, trying to make sure that I use my, clearly articulate my consonants, the mind can be like that minefield where little things trip our trigger and we are off to thinking about things that we should not be thinking about. Things that we can categorize as either lust or pride or anger or fear or whatever, but we automatically start going off to that place. And as I said, we have to recognize the terrain over which we're traversing as we escape. And in this spiritual battle in which we are engaging, where truly is the battle being fought? Where is it really being fought? It's really being fought in the mind. Now, there is a principle in warfare that if you can pick the ground upon which you wish to fight, and if you can get there first, you have a distinct advantage over the enemy. A Civil War general once put it this way: you want to get there firstest with the mostest. Okay? So that's the idea. We have to use that to apply it to the battlefield that's going on in our minds as well. If we struggle with the negative way our mind may go, it's probably because we have let the enemy get there first. So like a fire that's set on a dry field, as soon as it's lit, it's immediately consumed, right? Same with our mind. It's set and our mind is suddenly consumed with these negative thoughts. Next time, we're going to talk a little bit more about placing holy firemen there in our mind to help douse the flames. That means to consume us. But for now, I want you to remember that entertaining sinful thoughts in our mind is a sin. Entertaining these negative thoughts in our mind is a sin. Let's go into some scripture for some support on that. Matthew 5:21, and then the first part of 22, Jesus said this: "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." And then on down to verse 27 and 28. "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." You see, because we have let those thoughts into our mind, we have sinned. And the same is true if we entertain prideful thoughts or fearful thoughts or really any other negative thoughts, it's sin. Oh, I should have gotten that promotion. Or, yeah, let me just think about what I should say so I can really beat that person in the next argument I have with them. Or, how can I make this person feel really small and make myself look good? Things like that. And, you know, we deny it. You know, we say, hey, I'm not angry, or I'm not prideful, or, oh, yeah, I've forgiven that person. Yeah. We may say this to ourselves without ever considering the thoughts that we have actually entertained in our mind. So as you take stock of yourselves and as you go on and you prepare this list, it's important to think about what you have been thinking about. Now, some of you may say, well, oh, gee, I don't understand why this is sin. Why is this sin? It's just, you know, it's just a harmless little, it makes me feel good to really be able to get that person in my mind. I don't see why it's sinful at all. It's sinful because we are making disorder out of a place that the Lord had intended for peace and good order. Our minds were created to be a place of peace and good order. And we are turning that around and turning it into disorder, turning it into chaos, quite frankly. So that's why we're going against the will of the Lord. So, as I mentioned, the assignment. Make a list of the things that you struggle with. Do so with the Lord's input. Write it down. Date it. Put it in some place secure. Some place you can easily get to it and review it. Okay? So some place secure, but some place you can easily get to and review it. You know, like your underwear drawer, some place like that, right? It's pretty secure, right? Consider organizing the list any way you like. You can either pick the easiest thing to deal with first, you know, the low-hanging fruit approach. Or you can pick the thing that's most destructive in your life. What is absolutely ruining me and my walk in the Lord? Ask the Lord, how is it that He wants you to start working this list? I'm going to encourage you, though. Pick one and start working it. Only pick one or two at the most. That's my encouragement to you. You don't want to pick too many because, you know, you pick too many things. Like if I were to look at my list, you know, my big long list here. 15. I got 15 things on my list. If I were to just pick, if I were to say, yep, I'm going to work on all 15 this year, right? It's like a juggler. Right, who only knows how to juggle three balls, but suddenly is given a fourth ball thrown at him, right? He's going to drop all of them. Right, so I encourage you to just pick the ones that the Lord shows you. This way, they'll probably help you from getting discouraged. Now, remember, you may have heard last week, Pastor Lanny was preaching, and he alluded to the fact that the theme for this year is, where are you growing? So this year, consider growing by planning to escape from this one or two areas that really holds you in bondage. Now, I'm just saying, just take the whole year for this one or two things. And some of you may be saying, a whole year just to work on one thing? What's up with that? Expect planning and execution of breaking free to take time. Not something that happens overnight, typically. Marilyn, she's great at this. When Marilyn finds something in her life, she just goes right after it. You know, like a hungry dog on a meat truck, right? She just goes after it until she has that issue in her life solved. But if you ask Marilyn about that, she'll tell you that she usually apportions herself an entire year to work on that one thing. But remember, it's okay, because it's not about the time. It doesn't matter how long. It's about breaking free. It's about being free and living a free and victorious life. So the time doesn't matter, bless you. If it takes a lifetime, and again, we will be free because we are relentlessly determined to live in freedom under the government of the King and not as a slave to the evil one. That's our objective. So the time doesn't matter. Okay, so remember this list before January 1st. We want to get it done. Remember also, something else to encourage you. I know I'm just full of this stuff. Something else to encourage you. The list never gets smaller and only gets bigger, right? Because as you deal with one thing, you know, the Lord encourages you in another way. Hey, this is something else you might want to work on, Mike. Right? So the list only gets bigger. We never cross something off of this list. Okay, we never do. We only add to this list as the Lord shows us more things we have to work on. This does not have to be as discouraging as it sounds. Because if we have really committed our lives to living in freedom, and if we're truly jealous to serve the Lord and serve the purposes of His kingdom, then this is just a list. This list just becomes a list of our struggles. And as we get victory over these things, the list just becomes a list of things that we may be susceptible to, maybe a reminder to us, something that we want to keep our eye on. It no longer becomes a list that holds us in bondage. So really, what this list becomes is becomes a list of the things over which the enemy has given us victory. It becomes a testimonial to us so that we can hold this list up proudly and say, hey, look what the Lord has done. Oh, yeah, the Lord has given me victory over this one and this one and this one and this one. And oh, yes, no, not this one yet. I'm still working on this one. Oh, hey. But let me tell you about what the Lord did to help me free me from this one. See, it becomes a testimonial of your life. We're going to wrap it up here. In 2 weeks' time, I'll be picking this thing up again, and we're going to continue with the second part of this planning phase. Today, some of the things that we've talked about as we've gone over these examples of bad planning, we took some stock of our resources and our liabilities. And we talked about completing a list so that we know exactly what it is that we're trying to break free from. Next time, we're going to talk a little bit about having procedures. What things do I need to put into place to keep me from falling in this area? We're going to talk about getting a buddy. And we're going to talk about making a path. Now, as I conclude, this whole thing all sounds so clinical, so methodical, so calculating, so deliberate. And that's partially because that's the way I think. And I think very serially and very in a very methodical way. But remember, none of this goes anywhere if we do not have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, a relationship with Him that will transform our lives. So as we walk through this thing, as we walk through this list, we need to walk it out with Him, walk it out with the Lord, stay close to Him, and He will not give up on us. He will not leave us hanging. All right? Please stand. You have anything? Okay. Yes.
In support of what Michael is telling us about the imperative for having a living relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, I want to urge you again to consider those elements of your personal disciplines for 2008 that will take you in that direction. Specifically, we'll be dealing with communion with God again, counsel with God, prayers that heal the heart, and for those of you who are interested in the practicalities of how to hear from God, we're offering, again, a class on prophetic ministry, how to hear from the Lord and deliver what you hear, whether it's to you or to someone else. And to that end, Rhonda will be in the lobby this morning to talk with you, go over the materials with you if you have that interest. So please consider adding one of these disciplines to your life to the very end that Mike's been sharing. Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. Yeah, the other thing I should mention to you also is that, not only is the Holy Spirit not going to leave you hanging, but the leadership in this church is committed to seeing you walk this out in freedom. And it's one of the reasons that Pastor Lanny has set up, such excellent growth groups, why he was just the thing that he was just mentioned about with Rhonda and the prophetic discipline. We are committed to seeing each of us walk and live in freedom. Hey, you didn't have any. Let's go before the Lord then together, and we will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come minister to our hearts. Father, I pray that this year each of us will have a new and fresh and exciting encounter with you, one upon which we can build a lifetime of relationship with you. Father, I pray that we would remain relentlessly determined to move forward, that we might be free, just so that we could be free, because, Father, we know that that is your desire. But, Father, also that we would be free, that we might serve your purposes and do that thing to which you have called us. Freedom and in power in the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that that heart's desire would grow to be just a burning fire, flaming, consuming fire. So, Father, in the next couple of days, show us those things with which we struggle, those things that you want us to work on. Father, we do thank you. We lift this up. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. For those of you who have something over which you wish to pray, the altar is open. If you want to pray, just an encounter with you and the Lord, then you're free to do that, obviously. If you wish to pray with someone, then we are available to do that as well. The altar is open. If not, you can be dismissed to the sunroom. Do we have snack and yak going on down in the sunroom today? I believe that we do, so we're going to go with that. You're free to be dismissed to go to that, and otherwise we're happy to pray with you.